For some reason, I'm like so pumped for Foxcatcher. It's like, oh shit, Channing Tatum's gonna get nominated for an Oscar this year. So is Steve Carell. Like, yes. Like, that's like, I watched the trailer and it's like, oh, they're all getting Oscar noms. Like,
this is your Carrie.
No, this one I think.
I was dead set on Carrie. Yeah, you were wrong on it. And you've admitted to being wrong, but that's, you know, after having been proved wrong.
I still think they were really good at what they did.
I will take that one to my grave. What's up? This is Movies On Up. The greatest victories don't always happen on the field. The greatest free weekly movie podcast happens, I don't know, every Tuesday when Dave and I record. It is Tuesday.
Every single Tuesday.
Every single Tuesday. We never double up to give ourselves like a month off. We are always in here sweating in the studio every Tuesday.
With no air conditioning.
With no air conditioning. In fairness, Dave does have to look right into the sun.
I do, and it gets brutal sometimes.
Sometimes, and then we put the shades down, and everything's fine. But if you haven't been able to surmise, we are Movies On Up. That voice you hear on the other side of the table for me belongs to Mr. Dave Pacella.
On the sunny side.
On the sunny side, I guess I would be on the dark side, which is kind of how I like it. I'm Ryan. We're Movies On Up. The greatest victories don't always happen on the field is our tagline for this week. If you know what movie that tagline belongs to, send your guess to us in any of the following ways. Via email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can direct tweet your message at Dave on the Twitter box, @moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, if you are correct. And if we choose you, you can win a prize package, which will be filled with all sorts of great things.
The super, super Movies On Up prize package.
Is there like a premium version and like an unleaded?
They're all the super.
And what's in the super prize package, you might ask?
All sorts of stuff.
All sorts of stuff, which you can only find out if you win, if you can correctly identify the movie that the greatest victories don't always happen on the field comes from. We'll give you a hint. It is a movie that came out this year. It's eligible to be one of our favorite movies of the year of our Lord 2014. That is the topic for this week. It's our halftime report. We are July, which is right there in the middle of the year. So we're going to run down our top five favorite movies. It is five, right?
Yeah. Our Good. Third annual halftime show.
Sure. Third annual. Big deal.
To me. It's I like the halftime shows.
You like celebrating the anniversaries and stuff.
Yeah.
So what did you get me? Did you get me a super, super prize package?
I did. It'll show up. It'll show up.
All right.
I just got to get to the post office.
In 3 years. Yeah, it'll be it'll be here.
This year was fun, though, because last year we did the halftime show, and I remember my top five I didn't even really like. I mean, I enjoyed them all, but didn't feel they were list worthy. I just didn't have anything else. I could do a top 10 right now and still have also-rans. I don't know if it's because I've seen more movies or there's just more good movies this year. But this year's interesting so far because I've liked a lot of movies so far. And the ones I've liked, I've really, really liked.
There's quite a few that I like and I think are good movies. I remember when we did our look ahead kind of at this year, we were kind of a little bit worried, especially about what the summer was going to bring. There haven't been many summer movies, really quote-unquote summer movies that I've seen yet and really, really liked. So most of mine kind of inhabit that January to April phase. I mean, overall, there are a lot of movies that I have liked. I haven't been wowed by many, but there definitely have been some that after seeing them, I knew, oh, absolutely, I'm talking about this for the halftime report because it was that good. I may have put them on a list a month ago, but I'm going to talk about them again.
Yeah, so I mean, like last year, I remember my top five, I think maybe two of them were in my top 10 at the end of the year. Four or five of these movies could very well end up in my top 10 by the end of the year. My top five might still be there because I like the movies that much. And then some of my also-rans might also end up in the top 10. Like, I mean, a lot of it depends on what happens the rest of the year. I just feel like this year has been consistent. From a box office standpoint, it's behind past years because there isn't the Iron Man 3 that made $400 million.
And Captain America's done well.
Captain America, X-Men, those are all $200-plus million. And Maleficent's going to hit. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going to hit that, like, 2 to 250 range, but nothing really over it. It just seems to be a really consistent year. There's not really a lot of bombs. especially in the summer season. Like, it's not a flashy summer season. The stuff's coming out. It's opening big. It's holding okay. And that's it. It's making its money just in one big chunk and then slowly, which is weird. Like, it's a cool little summer because I think the quality's pretty good. Like,
of this crop of summer movies, don't mention them now, but have you got any on your list?
Of wide releases?
Yeah. Like, summer, like what you would call like a summer tentpole movie. And maybe tentpole is, we're going to argue about that. But.
One summer release is in my top five. Well, two, but one wide summer release is in my top five. And then two, three of my also-rans are summer releases. Oh, no, four of my summer releases are, five, no, two in my top five and four or five of my also-rans.
I should never have asked this question because apparently it was just not as simple as yes or no.
All right, we'll start over. I'll just say, instead of counting.
Just yes.
I'll go from the question.
Just say yes.
Yeah, I mean, two of my top five are wide summer releases, and then four of my also-rans are, like, wide summer releases.
I like how you redid that. Like, I'm going to cut all that stuff out.
Yeah.
Because that's not happening.
I gave it the old college try.
Yeah, you did. Okay, we've kind of danced around. What summer movies do you have in your list? Speculation aside, Dave, your fifth favorite movie from the year of our Lord 2014.
My number five, technically a summer release, but really didn't go wide. It actually just came out last week in select theaters and on video on demand. It is from one of my favorite directors of all time. It is David Wayne's They Came Together. I was able to catch this on video on demand this week. Everything I love about David Wayne, everything I loved about The State, it was for me. Like, I understand. I've been reading up on the buzz, and it doesn't seem to be doing that well with critics. I just don't think get it. I don't think they understand what it's doing. People that were really into Wayne stuff don't seem to think it's not Wet Hot American Summer. I think people expect it to be Wet Hot American Summer, but Wet Hot American Summer wasn't Wet Hot American Summer when it first came out.
It was kind of people said to say they didn't get it.
Yeah, it took some time. So, and I feel like They Came Together. It's not as wacky as Wet Hot American Summer.
There's no dick cream.
But it's not tame. It's different. It's weird. It's out there. I mean, there's just so many little jokes. There's some great cameos that really come out of nowhere. A lot of the jokes just come out of nowhere. I just really, really love this movie. And for Paul Rudd, like, where he's at in his career, like, he's a very bankable movie star. You know, he's about to star in a Marvel movie next year. For him to go out and do something like this, Amy Poehler's on the rise, like, as a movie star. Like, for them to have the faith in David Wayne to put them in this, you know, non-traditional movie that, I mean, it's a parody. It's a 100%, it parodies romantic comedies. And this is what parody movies should be because it does just skewer them. It talks about how stupid they are along the way. And it's just, it's incredibly funny. David Wayne, his parts on screen are some of the funniest things to me. There's just dumb little jokes. Like, within the first 5 minutes, just something as simple as Paul Rudd going to take a glass of wine, like, take a drink of his wine glass. One of the funniest things. There's no focus on it. It's just, if you catch it, it's hilarious. If you don't, you didn't really miss anything. It's just, I really love this movie. I really love David Wayne. It's better than Wanderlust. I enjoyed Wanderlust, though. I was one of the few, like, I still think Wet Hot American Summer is, like, the ultimate David Wayne movie. Role Models is the ultimate David Wayne, like, studio movie. This is a nice little balance between the two because it does have your studio sensibility plus your Wet Hot American Summer wackiness. And it's probably my third favorite David Wayne movie ever, but it's my fifth favorite of the year so far.
My number five, I guess you might call it a summer movie. It kicked off the summer season, coming out the first weekend in May. It is Mark Webb's The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I really liked the first one, and I think this whole time I've been on board saying, I'm going to like Spider-Man 2, damn it. And I don't know that I was trying to convince myself. Turns out I really didn't have to. I do understand why some people don't like it as much. There is an awful lot going on in it. There's more villains than you can shake a stick at. They don't all necessarily get dealt with in Spider-Man 2, but I thought the moments that it has to hit, and there are a couple, and we'll leave it at that in case you haven't seen it yet. I think it does a very nice job with those moments. You may think you know what's going to happen, and you may be right, but I think that you're still surprised at the way things, how events unfold. And I think it does an awesome job of setting up that franchise to continue. I think had this been the launch of the franchise, had there been no Amazing Spider-Man 1, I think people might like it a lot more, because then you could say, all right, well, there's a lot of things going on in this movie, but they're trying to set up a trilogy. So, okay, I'll give you some exposition. For as much exposition as they have in this, enough, as much as they're trying to set up the character of the Green Goblin and still where Spider-Man's at, where his relationship is at with his father, I think they did a good job of putting in enough action to where if you're a kid in the audience, you're probably not going to get bored, because, you know, if they're talking for 10 minutes, just wait, because Spider-Man will be punching somebody in another 5. It was kind of a long movie. I mean, it was over 2 hours long. But again, I thought for the most part, it was paced really well. It's action-packed. It's a great summer movie. And I enjoy Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. What the hell?
I haven't seen that one yet. I'll see it by the end of the year.
By the time Amazing Spider-Man 3 comes out.
My number 4, this movie's weird because this was a summer release. This was a wide summer release, but kind of got buried. It wasn't necessarily a tentpole. It wasn't necessarily kicking off a franchise. It did have major star power, but just kind of got lost in the mix. Last year, you had a Tom Cruise sci-fi as your number 1 at the halftime show. This year, I have one at my number 4. It is Edge of Tomorrow, starring Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt, directed by Doug Liman, written by Christopher McQuarrie and Jez Butterworth.
Wait.
I just had to say his name. Based on the based on the book, All You Need Is Kill.
And the movie that should have been called The Bitch of War.
Or All You Need Is Kill.
Or The Bitch of War.
This was actually done really, really well. I had my doubts. I didn't know that they could pull it off. I thought it'd be too saturated. The way they made Tom Cruise's character, perfect. He was absolutely... People get on Tom Cruise about something, but he's one of the truest like movie stars we have. The guy he's really, really good. I'm not breaking news by saying Tom Cruise is a really good actor, but it's not like he's washed up. Like,
he's the little guy that jumped on Oprah's couch.
Yeah.
All right, that guy.
Like, that's
good actor.
The thing is, like, he's still doing amazing work. And this was really good. This was a really good Tom Cruise role, really good action movie. A female-led action movie, pretty much, because Emily Blunt is the action hero of the movie, and she pulled it off. It's basically Groundhog Day meets an alien apocalypse, and it's done really, really well. Like, Tom Cruise's character, Emily Blunt's character, Bill Paxton shows up, Kit Gurry, Brendan Gleeson briefly. It's just really good, and it's a hard premise to sell, but they make it work. They pull it off. Turn it off before the last, like, 2 minutes, because that almost tries to ruin the entire movie.
Like the Tom Cruise movie from last year.
Yeah. Like it's awesome and it's good, and it just roll credits like 2 minutes sooner, and this movie's actually probably higher up the list. Like, as much as I love my top three, like, this movie was really, really good. It reminds me a lot of last year. I really liked Elysium. It's a really good sci-fi movie with great action, but enough story to make you care. And I really liked it. Just shut it off before the last 2 minutes, because it just negates everything. It throws everything out the window. But yeah, other than that, I really, really loved Edge of Tomorrow.
Other than that, it's fine. My number 4 is a movie that doesn't have... You can't turn it off before the end, but I would not say that it has a happy ending, and I don't think that a movie... starring a couple youngsters afflicted with cancer would necessarily have a happy ending. It is The Fault in Our Stars, starring Shailene Woodley and Ansel Elgort, both of whom were amazing in this movie. Again, you talk about Tom Cruise, like, yeah, the guy's a movie star, and he's been doing it for like 30 years. We get it. Woodley is going to be that. She is phenomenal in everything she does. And I think that if it's possible for her to still be going under the radar by the time we get to this movie, it won't be possible going forward. Box office, it didn't have, you know, a giant, huge impact, but I never thought that it was going to.
It's still going to be. It's a $100 million movie.
Right, which is still a very, very good take. But for a movie of this kind, that I think, you know, if you've read the book, and a lot of people did read the book, but I think if you go in knowing that it's going to be sort of a bummer, and I think especially in the summer, maybe people aren't really predisposed to, yeah, I'm going to sit down in a theater in June and get punched in the balls for 2 hours. Spoiler alert, that's kind of what happens. But I haven't read the book. I'm probably not breaking any news there. But from what I have read online, people that are super fans of the book seem to like the movie as well. Josh Boone did a very good job of adapting what has been a bestseller. I was not surprised that Woodley is as good as she is, because she's phenomenal. And I want to say that Elcourt was, they were together in Divergent, I think, from really just a couple months before. I think he played her brother. And they had a pretty decent chemistry in that movie. But the two of them together in this were, I mean, they carry the movie, and they have to. It's heavy subject matter, but it's absolutely worth seeing those two together. You want those crazy kids to make it. I was surprised that I liked this movie as much as I did. It was one of those ones I knew I kind of had to watch, because I knew she was going to be good, and at the very least, it was going to be worth seeing that. But I think Laura Dern was very good as her mom. Sam Trammell shows up, one of the werewolf fellows from The True Blood, as her dad, and Willem Dafoe as the jerk writer that they go to see Van Houten. He was very good in the movie as well. Everybody was phenomenal. It's heavy. Maybe you ought to walk out before the last 20 minutes, I guess. Like, if you really want to avoid ruining your day, do that. If not, stay for the final 20 minutes of what is my number four movie of this year.
This and Edge of Tomorrow, I can kind of make the same point for, although it's kind of hypocritical. I love the idea that you could throw A Fault in Our Stars in the summer. I love that studios are now trying something like that. Edge of Tomorrow, you know, a random one-off sci-fi movie. They're throwing it in the middle of summer and trying to see what sticks.
It's very much counter-programming.
They're both going to be $100 million movies. But then you think about it, is if Edge of Tomorrow would have come out March, like, it's a really good movie that you take it out of the heavy pool of competition, it's going to do awesome. And it's going to be more than just like a throwaway summer action movie. And Fault in Our Stars, release that in February and tell me it doesn't.
Maybe I'm about to go all Carrie here, but I really think if they would have released this movie, and it still may happen, if they would have released it closer to award season, I think she could get a lot of consideration.
Then push it till September.
Yeah.
If you throw this in September or Edge of Tomorrow, September's like action movie dumping ground, so it would have fit well there too. Like, if you throw Fault in Our Stars in September
or October, somewhere.
Yeah, like, it's not in a crowded pool as much, and I don't know. But my number three, second one that really they came together was a video on demand movie. So it was my number three. It is Veronica Mars, written and directed by Rob Thomas, based on the awesome TV show that I loved forever.
Written by the guy from Matchbox 20?
Yes. This movie was everything it needed to be. If you go into it not watching Veronica Mars, I think there's enough there to keep you entertained. It's a throwaway detective movie, but if you loved the show and you were on board with everything, it's absolutely perfect. It's a different point in her life, and it's different enough so you do see that the character has grown up, but yet it's a lot of the same. Plus, a lot of the little nods, like the little, there was subtle things thrown in, little subtle Easter eggs. Some
fan
of the
service.
Yeah, there was a lot of fan service without being overdone, I think. I think the fan service was like the perfect amount, because there were just little things that, you know, if you missed them, you missed them. If you caught them, they were awesome. So I feel like there was a lot of fan service that was well done, because I'm not always all for fan service. And I thought that the story was enough. Like, it was enough there. But mostly, Veronica Mars. Like, I loved that character. Like, Kristen Bell made that show. Like, yeah, okay, the supporting cast, well, Percy Diggs or whatever his name is, Tina Margarino, the one from Napoleon Dynamite.
I'm not a marshmallow.
I am.
You can't look over here for help.
Like, the supporting cast it was fine, but that show lived and died by her. And she brought it, and she carried that show, and it was the same with the movie. Like, she came to play. Kristen Bell's come a long way. Like, she's not, like, she's carried movies before. She is, you know, yeah, she hasn't had the best movie record, minus Frozen, where she's not on the screen, but her on screen, you know, she's had her hits and misses, but she absolutely carried it, just like she did the TV show. And it was very nostalgic, which I liked, and it set up for another one, perhaps. So I really liked it for a show that the last season finale is the most frustrating thing ever, because it introduces so many storylines that they never ever got to do. The movie was a nice little wrap up. Just, it's not necessarily what I should love, but I absolutely loved it. And it was hard putting it at three. Like, as much as I love it, I just couldn't feel it. It didn't top my top two. But I really loved it. If you're a fan of Veronica Mars and you haven't seen the movie yet, you're missing out.
My number three, actually at one point in my listing, was my number one movie. And that's because it came out very early in the year. I've got a couple movies on here that you could argue with me that they're really 2013 movies. This one, you can argue, but you're going to be wrong. It actually came out the 10th of January. It's Peter Berg's Lone Survivor. Yeah, we both like this movie a lot. I would hazard a guess to say that it occupies a spot somewhere in Dave's list. I don't know if it made his top five.
It made my last year's list.
Yeah, okay. Dave's wrong because it is a 2014 release. At any rate, you've heard from Dave how much he likes the movie, and I'm sure he'll chime in here shortly. You've heard from me how much I like the movie. We did pretty much a standalone Survivor episode. There was some Battleship talk mixed in there as well, but this was a perfect action movie. And calling it an action movie is probably not doing it justice. There was action in it. It was absolutely a character study about these four guys that were in possibly the most terrible situation you could ever find yourself in, and how they respond to it. And once you know, you kind of get on that ride with them, you do not get off until the end. It's constant. It's visceral. It's gritty. I mean, you really do feel like you're there. I think we said that it had a feel of a documentary, and it does. But even more than that, I mean, you do feel like you're there on the mountain with these guys. And the acting, I think before this movie, if you'd have said Peter Berg is going to direct Taylor Kitsch in a movie and it's going to turn out well, I think we might have laughed. Not so much maybe with the rest of the guys. We just did a Mark Wahlberg episode where we gushed about that guy actually has some talent. Ben Foster's great. I love Emile Hirsch. And Kitsch was kind of the question mark, and he is the one that, while he's in the movie, it kind of is his movie, and he does a phenomenal job of leading that movie and leading that group of guys. And I think the direction, Peter Berg, weaving all these guys together, making them all important, and not just Mark Wahlberg and three guys. They were all built, every character mattered, as they should, because these are the stories of actual guys. So, I mean, from top to bottom, I think Lone Survivor is an incredible movie. It started off the year with a bang. I thought, oh my God, my top five list is going to be done by February. This is going to be so easy to do. There may not be a better movie, a better made movie than Lone Survivor this year. There were a couple that I liked more, but it was probably just subject matter. I mean, again, you know, Fault in Our Stars is not, you don't walk away from that feeling happy. I mean, Lone Survivor, yeah, it does work out for one of them, but it's still heavy, heavy subject matter. You see the lives of a lot of people end in a pretty graphic way, but it's impactful. And at the very least, I think that's what a movie should be.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie a lot, but I feel like we've talked about it a bunch. It didn't get the love it deserved in any kind of capacity. My number two, not so much. Anybody that's seen this movie loves it. At the end of the year, this is going to be at the top of a lot of people's lists. Even if it's not number one, I guarantee it's going to be a lot of top three lists. It is from earlier this year, March-ish, directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. It's the Lego Movie. Chris Pratt voice, Elizabeth Banks, Will Arnett. It's a damn near perfect movie. I mean, everything about this movie, like the acting is perfect, the casting, the writing, it's one of the best written scripts. I mean, just the timing of the jokes and the delivery of the jokes. There's a reason Lord Miller can do anything they want right now because they're on a hot streak. And movies like this show why, like just their timing and everything. My kids love it. I love it. I think my girlfriend's tired of how many times we've watched it since it came out on DVD, but we saw it twice in theaters. We've watched it a ton on DVD. It's just such a good movie because there's enough in there to keep them entertained. I laugh at it more than they do because most of the jokes are written for me, not them. Will Arnett absolutely perfect in this movie. This is one of my favorite on-screen Batmans ever. Like it rivals Keaton's, I think. But just absolute joy of a movie. And that's what it is. It's an absolute joy. And, you know, the turn it takes near the end was unexpected, but welcome. I mean, it was nice. It was because you go into a Lego movie thinking, like, how is this going to work? And they make it make sense. And it was absolutely brilliant. I thought that was a ballsy move, like, to make that turn that they took. But then to pull it off as expertly as they did. Like, I can't say enough good things about the Lego movie, but I'll stop myself because I'm sure you have some stuff to say about it also.
I may. Let's start with it was released February 7th, for what it's worth.
March-ish,
sure. It is also my number two. Legit. I don't even have to juggle it around. It had the feel, to me, of a summer blockbuster. I mean, it has enough action in it that, yeah, this could be an action movie.
I guarantee the second one will be a summer movie.
It really should. I mean, when we talked about, like, our favorite, I don't know, kids' movies or family movies or whatever, this made my list. And it absolutely should. You mentioned it, the jokes. There's enough that your kids will like, but there's also that level that's above them. It's not inappropriate for kids. They just, you know, aren't going to quite pick it up. Every time I see this movie, I catch something else, whether it's another joke or if I'm looking at Vitruvius's staff, which now, that's got to be a dum-dum, right? That's
yeah.
A sucker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't pick that up the first two times I watched it because you're busy looking at something else. There's always something going on. As much as Dave raved about it in March-ish when he saw it in the theaters twice, I was kind of hesitant because usually that means it sucks. No, I mean, you get your hopes up so high. It can't possibly be as good as he's saying, but it was. I don't know anybody that I have not told this is one of my favorite movies of the year. I don't care who you are or what you like. You should watch it because if you're a human being, you'll like the movie. And nobody's proven me wrong yet. And if you don't like this movie, I don't want to hear about it from you because you're a jerk.
It's what a movie should be. It's fun. It's funny. There's action. I can't imagine somebody not like. I can't imagine the type of person that doesn't find joy in this movie. I just honestly can't. I can't imagine somebody watching this movie going, this sucks.
I want to get out of here.
I don't want to know that person.
No, I don't want to know that person. But what I want to know is, what movie do you like better than the Lego movie?
My number one comes from a set of directors that they're on a hot streak right now. They could pretty much do anything they want. They're just delivering.
Could they do
hit after hit?
But could they do a Lego movie?
I mean, they could do a Lego movie. They could release a movie in March-ish and then have that movie do so well that the sequel turns into a summer release, much like I feel like the Lego movie will be, much like Phil Lord and Chris Miller's 22 Jump Street was. If you've ever heard me talk, I don't think it's any shock that 22 Jump Street is my number one movie of the year so far. As much as I love 21 Jump Street, I love 22 Jump Street maybe just as much. As far as sequels go, and I put it up there at a level with Gremlins 2 as sequels go.
Oh, Jesus.
Because it's a sequel to the movie, but it's tongue-in-cheek. It gets it. It understands, and it takes a different approach to sequels. Absolutely love this movie. There's so many like little tiny jokes that it might take a second watch to get. But much like Veronica Mars made me feel nostalgic about a TV show that I watched years ago, 22 Jump Street made me feel, it's so weird, like it made me feel nostalgic for a movie that came out 2 years ago, because there's so many little nods and little nudges and little winks to the camera that are nostalgic to that first movie while still being a different movie, but still understanding that it's hard to make an action movie sequel without retreading the exact same plot and doing things the exact same way. But they approached it their way, and they made it work. And like, it's so funny. And I went, there was probably 80-year-old guy in front of me that didn't laugh once, but he was with like a 50-some-year-old woman that would not stop laughing, and she clapped at the end. Like, it just,
he was robbing the cradle.
No, it was his daughter, because she said, Did you like that, Dad?
Oh, God.
And he just goes, she goes, did you like that, Walter? And he's like, I just put his coat on. Well, I don't know why he's wearing a coat in the middle of summer. But
he's old. They have bad situation.
Yeah, it was. I mean, this movie, my theater was just laughing the whole time. And I was laughing in between their laughs, because there was a lot of jokes that you don't catch maybe the first time. Like, I picked up a lot of – there's a lot of filmmaking jokes in there. There's a lot of you – know, there's a really good Benny Hill joke. There's a great Red Herring joke that, you know, a lot of people aren't going to pick up on. But that stuff – I live for that stuff. Like, that stuff kills me. I love Tatum and I love Hill. And, you know, Tatum was the first McAvoy turn before McAvoy ever made the turn. The Tatum turn was just sounds dirty. It sounds like a sex move that him and Jenna Dewan do. But I would watch it, by the way. it was good because Jonah Hill, I love Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill is one of my favorite people in Hollywood. If I had to map out a dream career, Jonah Hill's pretty much living it right now. And even though he did the story and, you know, Michael McCall wrote the screenplay, Jonah Hill kind of stepped aside in this movie. Like, is he the most comically gifted in the cast? Yeah, probably. But Ice Cube and Channing Tatum had the best scenes in this movie. If you think of the two highlights of this movie, one's an Ice Cube scene, and the best scene by far, I think, is a Channing Tatum scene. They really let them go out and do what they needed to do, and it just elevated it. And then, not to mention, the absolute best closing credits you could ever have in the world. Like, don't let anybody spoil the closing credits for you. Just know that you have to stay through the closing credits because it's not just the beginning of the credits. Stay till the very, very end because it's one of the best post-credit scenes I've ever seen. It's just such a funny movie. And again, I love the first one. I love the TV show. I love the movie. I love the second one. I hope they keep making them. I don't think they will, but I really do. It was a hit. It's making money. It's still doing awesome. I would kill for a 23 Jump Street, and I'm sure I would love it just as much as I did the first two.
I'm sure it might be, in 2 years, your number one movie of the year.
Perhaps.
In 2016. My movie is probably another one that you may have had on your list of favorite movies from last year, and I really like the fact that you mentioned Channing Tatum and how it's really the Tatum turn and not the McAvoy turn, because my number one movie got its release in April here stateside, but it was available across the pond. Long before then, it was John Baird's Filth, starring the aforementioned James McAvoy. From the first time we saw the trailer, just raved about it. And that was back when we were doing trailer episodes. So that's how long this one has kind of been on our radar.
We did two trailers for this one.
We might have, because it was that damn good. It's sort of a depraved mix between Bad Lieutenant and The Wolf of Wall Street, much more one than the other. I went into this thinking that Jordan Belfort was a character that you didn't want to root for because he's doing really bad things, but he's so charismatic and so entertaining, you just want to hang out with the guy. I kind of thought that was sort of how McAvoy's character was going to be. But not so much. He's every bit as unhinged as Leo, but you see the cracks that are there. And eventually you get to see that there's really two characters there. There is, you know, the Jordan Belfort character who's just doing coke and doing all sorts of fun things with hookers. But you also see that there's a person and there's insecurities behind McAvoy's character. It's really only the second movie that Baird's done. But after seeing this, he wrote the screenplays based off an Irvine Welsh novel. But I'm on board. I would love to see how he follows this up. And I guess maybe I've got a bit of a theme here. Lego Movie notwithstanding, the ending of that was great. I got some gut punches here on my list. But Filth, it was another one of those movies. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, my God, this is tremendous. And it displaced a Lone Survivor.
This was actually my number one last year because I got a chance to see it early, but it was my favorite.
Yes.
I mean, it was my favorite movie of the year, and I've watched it so many times. Like, once it hit video on demand in the States, I've watched it a couple times just because I love it that much. And McAvoy is so perfect in this movie, and it is. You watch the trailer; it looks like it's gonna be a laugh riot, but there's a lot more to it than that. The book, many thought unfilmable, did a really good job of it because there is some weird stuff going on, but just really, really good. And all the supporting cast, like Imogen Poots and just everybody else in it, really delivered. And it's just such a good, good movie. That's just, it's weird because it's like, yeah, it's funny. It's when it wants to be funny, it's really, really
and it's
funny.
Darker than hell.
Yeah.
Other times.
So it, I think it defines dark comedy because when it wants to get dark, it's dark. When it wants to be funny, it's funny. Just the copier scene and the party. I mean that there alone, just like that's one of the most well done comic scenes, and it's just to watch a man unravel and then find out why he's unraveling. It's such a good story that there's so much to it that the trailers didn't. It just looked like a comedy. It's a lot more than that. But
I mean, I think if you watch the trailer and you're intrigued, you're not going to be disappointed by the movie.
No, because that stuff's still there. But there's a lot more to it. That's a good one. This year, it's a strong year. I mean, I have a bunch of also-rans. I mean, Captain America Winter Soldier, I love that movie. Not even in my top five. How to Train Your Dragon 2, I love just as much. Not even in my top five. I mean, those would be right there. Like that fifth spot was hard between They Came Together and those two. I really enjoyed both of those movies. Those are my also-rans. X-Men, Days of Future Past, and Godzilla. Movies I wanted to like more, but I still kind of liked. I have a lot of thoughts on X-Men, but we'll save that for another time.
That was the closest one to making my top five.
I wanted it to be so much better.
There are things about it that I didn't like, but
I feel like McAvoy is the only one that shined in that movie. I feel like Fassbender was restrained. I feel like he didn't have much to do. I feel like Jennifer Lawrence had a lot to do, but was just kind of showing up. And I love Jennifer Lawrence, but it just felt like she wasn't into it. Like she just, for what Jennifer Lawrence could do, that seemed flat. It seemed like she had enough there to do something with, and she just chose not to. But and then Godzilla. I liked it, but not as much as I wanted to. Big year for found footage movies. I generally hate on found footage movies. But this year alone, you have Willow Creek, the Bobcat Goldthwait Bigfoot movie, The Sacrament, that Ty West movie, and Afflicted. Those are all found footage. I really like all three of those movies. Granted, The Sacrament I don't ever want to watch again, but it's the Ty West movie I wanted Ty West to make. Afflicted's a really cool take on a found footage movie. And then Willow Creek, Bobcat really outdid himself. I mean, it's a really good, I mean, it's Blair Witch levels of suspense and stuff. And then I really loved Neighbors and John Michael McDonough's new one, Calvary. Very, very close to making my top five. It's another Brendan Gleeson one that's very, talk about gut punches. It's pretty dark. Like, you know, him and his brother do some pretty dark, good, like funny movies. This is basically take a McDonough brother movie and take out the humor, and you have Calvary, which I really, really liked.
The only one that we haven't talked about was Her. I mean, that was wide release in January, which is when I ended up seeing it. I mean, I liked it. I wanted to like it more. I thought I was going to like it a lot more than I ended up liking it. Maybe a bit like you with Godzilla. That one's on the periphery. I don't think, by the time we get to the end of the year, I don't expect that Her and Captain America and Godzilla will still be hanging around on my radar. But
I think Captain America will be on mine because I really liked Winter Soldier. Like,
it was my third favorite comic book movie of the year.
See, I didn't have another one. Yeah, it's my favorite comic book movie by far. I haven't seen Spider-Man, but X-Men, like it was okay. It was better than I thought it'd be, but I still wanted it to be better. I wanted to be 100% wrong about it. There was still stuff that I didn't feel like I was wrong about, and I just wanted it to be better. But what are you looking forward to the rest of the year?
I'm glad that you mentioned found footage movies and maybe horror movies, because I have a couple that I haven't learned my lesson, I guess, from these, but we're going to get ABCs of Death 2, which I'm going to watch.
Just like VHS. So you
yep,
fall
VHS viral. I know. I get it. You don't have to tell me. But in the case of VHS, I really do like anthology horror movies, which I guess is sort of what ABCs of Death is as well. And we're getting two of those. So I'm okay with it. I'm excited about both of those. Obviously, there's Hobbit coming out. I feel like for every year we've done this episode, I've said, I'm looking forward to The Hobbit. And I have every year. And I've liked it every year. I think this Hobbit's going to be really rad. The Five Armies or whatever the hell it's called. I don't know. Inherent Vice, which is probably one, seeing Dave nod.
That, forgot about that one.
Yeah, that I think that we're both going to like. And I have my fingers crossed on the disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. I have no idea what the hell they're going to do with that.
I'm really into that. That Jessica Chastain and McAvoy, my good Lord. Like, put those two in anything, I would watch it.
And, I mean, they're doing, like, three versions. There's the him version, the her version, and the them. I don't know how I'm going to see this movie. I don't know if you have to watch all three of them, if you got to come back three times, if it's just, like, Clue when you're going to get a random one and you don't know. So
I just, for them alone, I would watch whatever they do.
If you had to pick, Dave, are you going to see him or her? I'm going to go see
them.
That's not what I asked. You have to pick him or her.
Probably her, just because her on screen is something. Something about Jessica Chastain on screen is just so compelling to me that, as much as I like McAvoy, like, he'll still be there, but it's hard not to focus on Chastain just because she's so dynamic. Like, I can't pinpoint what it is about her.
It could
she's
be the
just,
year of McAvoy.
She's last year, I think, was the year of McAvoy.
Well, I'm counting Filth for this year.
Oh, I had Filth, Welcome to the Punch, and
Trance. Is that
Trance, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but, I mean, McAvoy's awesome to watch, but Chastain, I feel like you see less of her because, I mean, McAvoy, he's been doing a lot of stuff. Chastain's kind of few and far between. I'm looking forward to, I didn't put these in any kind of order. Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm super pumped on that movie. Into the Storm, looks like if Twister were a horror movie, I know it's going to be pretty bad, but the second trailer kind of got me to where it's like, maybe I'm wrong, so... I'm saying now I'm going to be wrong about that, but if I'm not wrong, you heard it here first that I think it's going to be great. But if it's not great,
then
I never said that. Life After Beth, we'll give this Aubrey Plaza as a leading lady another chance, but the supporting cast around her this time is
great. But she's playing a zombie, so
yeah,
that can't be that
Foxcatcher, I really like the idea of Steve Carell and Channing Tatum being Oscar nominees. So I really think that's going to come.
If they are, you heard it here first.
I think that's going to come from Foxcatcher. The Drop, watching Tom Hardy and James Gandolfini go, you know, act toe-to-toe, on board with that. The Box Trolls, looks good. I'll take my kids to see it. The Equalizer, I think it'll be awesome. I like Denzel in that kind of role. Birdman, I think it'll be some of Michael Keaton's finest work. And Hunger Games Catching Fire.
I'm glad you at least mentioned Life After Beth because I wanted to do that. That Anna Kendrick musical, but I really don't care about musicals.
Into the Woods?
Yeah. So at least Life After Beth, like, that kind of fills our Kendrick quota for the rest of the year. It does. I mean, I'm sure I'll like it. Why wouldn't I? But we would really like to know what you've liked thus far this year. You don't have to give us 5. You can if you'd like. You can give us 10. Or just your favorite movie of this year. We'd love to hear about it. You can do that on Twitter, at @MoviesOnUp. Leave them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/MoviesOnUp. Or you can tweet them. I think I probably already said Twitter. I guess I really just want you to tweet them at us because I don't want to deal with Facebook and I don't want to read emails. Not that I'm allowed to read them anyway. But if you want to send us an email, moviesonup@gmail.com, let us know your favorite movies of this year. Next week, we are going to give you our 5 favorite movies starring little boys.
Yep.
Kind of. Maybe they don't have to be so little. I don't know.
We'll talk about it next week when we come back to record.
Unless the policemen get us in the meantime.
But we're cool in Canfield. They'll let us slide. But until then,
keep it up.